without you. And you is the audience.
Merry Mini Monday, Chunkies. I'm Carter.
I'm Doge. That's my favorite Austin Butler song.
Such a good Austin Butler song, that one.
I'm Jordan, and I can't objectively judge what that sounded like because my throat makes such a strange shape that my ears don't work when I sing like that.
I told y'all about my dad's favorite version of that song. He would sing every holiday. It's the Porky Pig version.
Oh, yes. You have told
absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll have
that's an excellent joke.
It's just like the longest. It's like funny for 10 seconds. And then you're like, okay.
But he does it for 10 minutes though, huh?
Yeah. The point is to annoy. And he does a good job of that.
That's how dads do.
That's how dads do.
That's how dads do. Guys, as we anticipate the future, it happens a little bit more, it feels like, culturally near the end of a year.
Because you're closer to the future at that point.
Because you're closer to the future at that point. And really, it's the calendar changing. Is there actually, do y'all have any hard copy calendars in your house?
There's one right.
Bing.
Yeah. There's two right there.
I don't think we have one in the
I haven't hung them up yet, but they're right
Callie
there.
Pretty much writes on that and then gets upset that I didn't read it.
I very much remember the calendar being tall enough for me when I was growing up, like to be able to follow along. Like when Christmas would come, it was always Thomas Kincaid calendars.
Nice. Have we talked about how, I think we must have talked about it, how I see...
Law of large numbers, we probably have.
I visualize a year as a circle in my head.
Yes.
Guaranteed we talked about this. We did Arrival. Yeah. That's the perfect time to talk about that.
Yeah, that's probably when we talked about it.
Wow, what a memory you have. As we look ahead, the way the movie industry does that
all
is they
the
give
better
us
to remember you with, my
all
dear.
Better to remember you with. They tease us a bit, that movie industry. Yeah. And we got some trailers recently, and I want to talk about three that came out because they all seem to drop at the same time.
Didn't you
with
tell us
one
to watch
of them.
Four?
Well, sorry, yeah, we'll talk about that one, the other one eventually. Because we had already seen some stuff about Mario, and we'll jump into that first. But
yeah,
of the other three that were brand new, fresh things we hadn't seen before. It felt like one of them wasn't aware of the calendar in terms of release date, in my mind, personally. Trailer release date. But let's talk about... So we got a new Super Mario Brothers trailer.
Yeah.
We talked about this at first, how I think essentially we were like, it looks fun. Illumination's probably going to have a fun time. Unfortunate that Chris Pratt is Mario.
Right. I continue to think like everything Mario. About this movie is fantastic, except for... Chris Pratt's casting as Mario. Yeah. Everything else in this trailer, I'm so in on.
I do too. I think they're leaning a little heavy on the multiverse thing again.
Sure.
Which I understand it's Mario and he goes to different worlds, but you know,
He did it early. You know?
He did it early. He was the first.
He was one of the first.
Yeah. That Mario Kart scene has me hyped out of my gourd.
When they land on a rainbow road?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, pal. I think
Super Mad Max 2.
The Mario v. Kong fight is supposed to look like Smash Brothers since they're on a flat level surface and there's a crowd watching them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Those little types of gags make me very excited. Mario is like one of my first loves along with Zelda. And so I think I have a rich story. No, I said first loves. I didn't mean Callie in college. I think I have a rich like history with Mario that makes this movie perfect because Easter eggs and stuff will not go over my head. It'll be really fun. But man, the Chris Pratt of it all is really a blemish on the face of this movie.
It's tough to get past.
Yeah. I know everybody's like, it's not going to be that bad. What? Did you want Mario to just like sound like Charles Martinet the whole movie? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. My answer is yeah. I think we will, my guess is the movie will be awesome and we'll still say that it would be better if Mario barely spoke.
Yeah. It just looks like a lot of fun. We got to hear a lot more of Luigi in this one, which does feel perfect.
That's a 10.
And Anya Taylor-Joy as Peach totally works.
Also perfect.
Jack Black, dude.
Jack Black is Bowser. I mean, and we haven't heard yet really any lines from Donkey Kong. I
know, but you know it's going to be
Seth Rogen, so I think that's going to be just fine.
I think it's going to end. Here's my prediction for the Seth Rogen. The big Seth Rogen moment of the movie is going to be post-pummeling.
And does he
they're just going to be sitting together.
Does he laugh?
And Donkey Kong's going to be like, hey man, do you want a banana? Like, going to reveal that Donkey Kong's just a big sweetie pie and not actually a big scary punch boy.
Yeah. It's just Pumbaa without the horns.
Yeah.
You know?
That's all it is. I like Seth Rogen, man. I'm down.
I do too. On the Chris Pratt train, though, I think the one role that I'm still okay with him as is Star-Lord.
Yeah. I agree.
And that is the one role that he is in that I cannot replace him. And we got a Guardians Volume 3 trailer, which gave us much more than I thought it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say first, in terms of overall vibe of our next phase, I believe it's phase 5 of the MCU. I think Wakanda Forever ending phase 4 got us back in the spirit.
Yeah, I agree. MCU
I think so too.
So to know that we've got Quantumania and then a couple months later we have Guardians 3, I'm kind of, this feels like the way I used to anticipate a year.
Yeah.
Both the Marvel trailers Cinematic Universe. Are good, which helps.
They're very good, yes. And they're, done really well. But we got a lot of first glances. I mean, obviously it's going to be with Gunn, it's gorgeous. It's so fun. It's bright. Yeah. It's colorful. This was clearly that. I loved how they basically looked like Among Us characters. I don't think that was super intentional when they were all in their suits.
Their uniforms look awesome.
Uniforms look awesome. The crazy worlds look awesome. This little like woodland creature, but Earth. Like it's just like
planet. Dude,
that looks so fun.
Roid Rage Groot is very interesting to me.
That's one of the most unique things about the Guardians franchise in general. Well, really a lot of the MCU because we see Groot in many forms, not just through the surrogate of a Guardians movie, but it is fun to see him just
like what's like, Groot gonna, what's look, he gonna like look like this time?
Yeah. Just jacked.
Have y'all watched the Guardians Holiday Special yet?
No, I heard it was great.
I've heard it's really good. I really want to watch it.
I definitely want to see that. But this looks good. We got Adam Warlock. Finally.
We got High Evolutionary.
Is that who we... I knew y'all might know the character.
Basically, High Evolutionary created Rocket. Experimented on him over and over and over again. Killed him over and over and over again. Brought him back to life until he escaped and kind of is what he is now.
I'll tell you what.
I think Rocket's probably going to die in this one, which is going to make me a sad boy.
I kind of think so too. But I also think that he's going to hug an otter and...
You into that?
Makes the tickets worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It is time for some people in the MCU to actually die. And that sounds really sad. And
in real life?
Yeah.
Get him, boys. Wow. No. Dang. To die in our stories.
Here he goes.
This is a real question. I'm not trying to be a cynic, but can we care?
If they die?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Has it been proven that anybody dies for real yet? If we're opening up multiverses?
I don't think they haven't used the multiverse to bring anybody back. Like they had every opportunity to do that with Killmonger and Wakanda Forever, and people were asking for it, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
Natasha has stayed dead. Tony has stayed dead.
I just think there's a nervous pit in my stomach that is afraid that they're going to realize they have painted themselves into a narrative corner after Endgame and be like, bring everybody back. Go ahead and bring everybody back.
I think more than that, though, I'm confident that if Rocket dies, Rocket will stay dead because James Gunn
doesn't want to be here anymore.
Exactly. Bradley Cooper is tired of going and spending 2 hours every 3 years recording Rocket Raccoon lines.
To make $16 million.
Yeah, dude, chill.
But no, I think more than anything, this is James Gunn's goodbye to Marvel.
Yeah.
Because he's done after this and he's going to go be in charge of DC. So I think any of his characters are probably not moving past this movie. Yeah. With a huge status quo change.
It definitely had the feeling of clearly being the last of James Gunn Guardian movies. Hopefully the last of Guardian movies. And I only say hopeful because...
giving it to another director?
No. That's why I'm saying it. Like, hopefully it needs to go with him. Because he's been one of the most interesting cogs in the MCU wheel. Just with his like real life history with the MCU. And then what he brought. Because I do think a lot of the humor that we see in the MCU is like, it's heavy Taika and it's heavy James Gunn.
Dude, I would argue that James Gunn both saved and ruined the MCU in different ways. I think that Guardians injected a breath of fresh air into the MCU that encouraged them to take weird risks.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Risk is the word.
I also think that Marvel said, everybody look to that as our giggles
we
per
need to
minute
make these.
Template.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's a Guardians thing. That's not a Marvel thing. That's a Guardians thing. Let James Gunn do James Gunn stuff.
Yep.
We'll fire him too.
Right. I still remember seeing like the lineup of just these five characters that were hardly familiar to anybody in the world when they were just teasing what Guardians was going to be.
When they're in the prison. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a massive risk and he pulled it off and has been rewarded exponentially after he was chastised just a tad, just a bit. But Love it. So we also had a new, and I can't not think of Doge when I see Indiana Jones. But yeah. Here we had Harrison Ford, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Bridgers? Bridge.
Bridge.
Is it just Bridge?
Single Bridge.
Phoebe Bridgers and Phoebe Waller-Bridge for someone who is finally owning the fact that I'm just bad with names.
Yeah, that's tough.
Now that it's archived.
They could have been more thoughtful picking their names.
They could have been way more thoughtful. Like you. But yeah. How do we feel about the Dial of Destiny? I want to start specifically with you, Doge.
Yeah, I concede. Or what's the word? I give my time to Doge.
I'm a sucker. 100%. I'm a mook. I'm in. 100%. I'm in. And it sucks. Like, I know exactly what they're doing. Like, it's totally nostalgia play. Like, this trailer is exactly the Rise of Skywalker trailer, which is just like a bunch of scenes that don't mean anything set to really good music.
Did you notice it sucks. That Indiana Jones said, "I don't believe in magic"?
Yeah, I'm in. I know.
It's the sucks. Ark of the Covenant melt no, off Nazi
his eyes
faces.
Were closed. His eyes were closed. It could have been anything.
He said, he doesn't early know the Ark in the Covenant. Trailer, he says, "I don't believe in magic."
It could have been anything. His eyes were closed.
I think that was just Harrison Ford talking, and they put it in.
They just happened. Cameras were actually rolling. Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's the most formulaic trailer for a nostalgia sequel that I think I've ever seen. Like, it starts with a single piano note, and then it ends with huge, like, slow main theme of the movies we loved from 40 years ago. And then it cuts to black, and there's a joke after the title. Like, it is 100% Mad Lib trailer.
Dude, that is you are so right. That is the new trailer format. That is the new, like, it's coming back trailer format. Is it like,
I don't believe in magic.
Yep, 100%. Yes. Can I tell you my fear?
I don't care about your stories about Arks of the Covenants. Holy grails. They belong in a museum.
Can I tell you, Doge, my fear?
Yeah.
You more than anybody I've ever met, do not allow yourself to enjoy the second anything for such a long time after it comes out. Because if you like the first one, where most people go, ooh, I'm excited for more, you go, what if they retroactively ruin the thing that I love? And I've got some of that in me too. But you, more than anybody I've met, are so guarded about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That when you let yourself get excited, I want to be excited with you. I don't think this is it, pal. I think you're opening yourself up to a lot of pain here, buddy.
Here's the deal. I've been an Indiana Jones fan for a long time. I saw Kingdom of the Crystal Skull it came out in theaters.
Speaking of retroactively ruining.
I still love Raiders.
I
don't think Raiders is touchable.
I saw no callback to that. I saw every...
Yeah.
We had someone in a sidecar. We had a big Rolling Stone.
Sala is there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just like, dude.
Showing up for odd numbered Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah. It feels like we're not. That's best, right? Do you think they're going to even reference, like, because if he doesn't believe in magic, but he does believe in aliens?
Dude.
Well, yeah. That's the thing is like, aren't you? Don't you?
He watched a man get Kalimad in a temple. Like, he has to believe in magic. Yeah. It's like Harry Potter being like, I don't think it's real.
I'm excited for you. I'm hoping that it doesn't hurt my friend. Honestly, I'm going to see this movie, when it comes out as Indiana Jones.
The thing that I think made Indiana Jones 4 bad was the all of it.
Yeah, there it
wasn't
is.
Any of it that was good.
I was waiting on your hits.
The thing I'm excited for Indiana Jones 5 is that Lucasfilm's original pitch was like, more of an action comedy with a lot of jokes centered around how old Indiana Jones is, which sucks. James Mangold, the director, was like, I don't want to do that. I want to make a sequel that actually honors the legacy of this character. I've just done a movie called Logan. I don't know if you guys saw that. And they're like, oh, you could do that for Indiana Jones? He's like, yeah. And I said, okay, do it. I mean, so I have a lot of faith in James Mangold.
The Indiana Jones Logan...
Yeah.
Sounds like the best possible finale to Indiana
Jones. Old Man Jones. Yeah,
it definitely does. So do you think, I mean, we're gonna say bye to Rocket Raccoon. We're gonna say probably bye to Indy. Like he probably this is the last one. Like we're thinking he might die,
This movie was reportedly a deal, like this was a negotiating chip Harrison Ford was like, I'll come back and do more of your silly Space Wars movie if you let me do one more Indiana Jones. This is like the only character he's played.
That he likes.
Like Indiana Jones and Deckard that he actually likes. Everybody else, he's just like, it's a stupid wizard movie for children.
That's why, when you were like, they must have just been recording Harrison Ford. It's like what they did with the girl who was Boo.
They just followed
in Monsters, Inc. They just followed him around.
He's just eating. He's eating a pinwheel sandwich from catering from craft services, and they're
I don't believe in magic.
Do you think they'll ever bring Han Solo back? You think you'll ever do any more of those Star Wars movies?
Well, you know, I don't believe in magic.
And they're like, use it.
It feels like
watching a trailer for Remember the Titans 2. And Denzel Washington's like, boy, howdy, I never coached football before, but I'll give it a try. And it's like, what are you talking about? You coached football in the first movie.
Yeah.
Don't know why I made Denzel say boy, howdy either.
Boy, howdy. Classic Denzel.
This Denzel Washington as played by Charlie Day, I think. Your whole vibe just now.
I've never even coached football before.
Listen, keep your energy. We have one more trailer to talk about.
I regret to inform you that this looks so cool to me.
It does look really cool. Here's the thing. Transformers is Transformers just Fast and Furious, but it's influenced by a toy?
Fast and Furious, but the cars are alive.
Fast and Furious, but less fun.
Maybe less fun. I do think Transformers takes itself far more seriously, which is funny with alien transforming robots in disguise.
Hey, the designs look really good.
Yeah.
They do.
Only Vin Diesel takes Fast and Furious seriously.
Yeah, it feels everybody like else
everyone
yeah. what's up.
Takes Transformers relatively seriously.
I think maybe I'm just not a massive animal guy, like as far as like Animal Kingdom. I like animals, but like them transforming into animals is stupid to me. And not like cool, stupid, like, oh my gosh, I can't. Like it is dumb.
The cheetah transforming into a robot is really cool.
There's some cool things.
It's actually really cool.
Michelle Yeoh. Dude, I'm bad at names. Is it just, it's Yeoh, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I believe.
Porter Dinklage. That's Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
No, you got that one right.
Michelle Yeoh, Peter Dinklage, Pete Davidson.
Like, Porter Dinklage. Porter Dinklage.
Pete Davidson is a robot voice in
this. Oh, you know it's going to be good, my guy. Crank it up.
That robot's going to have huge
Optimus
lips.
Optimus Primal. Did you catch that voice? That's the gorilla. If anyone was to actually be in real life a robot alien gorilla, it is he, Ron Perlman.
Oh, nice.
That's who is voicing Optimus Primal. So yeah, Transformers Rise of the Beast, which this is the sixth? Yeah, installment in the Transformers franchise. They make a lot of money, y'all.
We should do a Transformers series. Dude,
there is nothing that sounds worse to me. Honestly,
my heart is open.
I know for a fact, and this is not for a fact, there would never be a chance more with this blood oath that we've made to just do this podcast till we die, that Jordan leaves if we do Transformers series before Mission Impossible series.
That is 100.
Yeah, that's true.
When he has been begging for years.
Here's my impression.
I just think the difference is like Transformers movies are actually good and cool, and Mission Impossible is just like mindless stunts for people who like to turn their brain off.
I cannot wait for Doge to be obsessed with Mission Impossible. It's going to be so vindicating. I'm going to feel so
according
vindicated.
According to your read of me, though, I'm only going to like the first one. And then Mission Impossible's 2 through 30. I'm going to be like, it takes away from the pristine experience.
I feel like I have offended you, but you know that's what you do, right?
No, I know that's
just
true.
Making sure.
Yeah, no, I know that's true.
I didn't want to reveal
that's
new
why
information
I hate like all sequels, like, you know,
he's
like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade,
himself.
Like Endgame, like Empire Strikes Back, Return of the King.
How's Last
any
of
sequels, I'm just like, it's it's pretty good. I like it. I haven't finished it, but I like it.
When that come
you
out?
Got Way of Water is coming up too,
July
man.
That's
hey, yeah. I am excited about Way of Water.
It's Doge season.
What a moving target this young man is.
Quick little bit of news before we jump into ads. The award season is just beginning. And I can tell you, this is probably the most excited I've been for an award season.
Dude,
because
same.
I'm ready for Everything Everywhere All at Once to just
sweep.
It's going to sweep.
Take it
just
all.
It's going to sweep.
Take it all.
It's going to sweep.
Oh, my gosh.
But there's
gosh.
A really, really sweet acceptance speech from Everything Everywhere All at Once from our Let me get it. Speaking of, this makes me, Indiana Jones got me here. But Quan, how do you pronounce his first name, Doge? Do you remember?
What?
He plays Wayman. This is the guy who was Short Round in.
Oh, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know how to, I guess I don't know his name.
I think he won. He won for best supporting actor.
Good for him. He deserved it.
And it's worth watching it. He basically talks about how those directors and producers reached out to him. And it's really sweet. 2.5 minutes long. Y'all go give that a watch. Cool. You can actually
have you seen the picture of him and Harrison Ford running into each other at like a con?
Dude, it's unbelievably sweet.
For an awards show? Yeah.
Yes.
It's really sweet.
He was like 8 again, basically.
Yeah.
It was so sweet. And then Harrison was, let's go to ads.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Did you know?
Well, I guess I remember you. You were a child. I didn't like you much then.
I don't believe in children. Is it the directors of Everything Everywhere All at Once? Don't they go by just the Daniels?
The Daniels.
The
yeah.
Daniels. That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait.
Yeah, I love it. As we look ahead, welcome back, by the way.
Oh, welcome.
I do want to look behind here, Doge, if you'll mute for just a moment. Mm-hmm. Just for a little bit. We are behind in talking about this. I think it is because there's just a lot of things out right now. It's been an interesting...
I'll take the blame. I just didn't want to watch it.
Well, it's also been an interesting timeline in terms of having really, really good shows and movies and then legacy sequels and then things come back and we start to get exhausted. So Game of Thrones fell into this. Star Wars fell into this. But now here comes Andor. And people are talking about that. I still haven't seen it. I do find myself being like, as the hype grows, it will eventually push me into watching some of these things. And I really do want to, but there's also part of me that doesn't. But House of the Dragon. I want to talk about this with Jordan. He texted me after he finished that season one. And again, we can't help but talk about Rings of Power alongside this. Which, by the way, Rings of Power season 2 is filming right now.
Good, good. I'm glad.
In the UK, they gave 7 or 8 names of new cast members. And there's one recasting. Adar is being recast.
Wait, why?
I don't know. I don't really know. They didn't go into details. I often assume it's because something happened contractually or...
Maybe Uncle Benjen's back for the Jon Snow spinoff show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Maybe that's it. But... Let's talk House of the Dragon, and we're not going to spend too much time. I would say for me, the momentum, I think they're both great starts. Rings of Power, House of the Dragon. I ended up liking Rings of Power, I think a little bit more because I know the subject matter better. But my only fear of House of the Dragon is that it is that we saw the best season.
Mm.
My fear is that we saw the best season. I do want to say one of my favorite moments in Game of Thrones ever is when we have... is in this season of the show. Let me go back to this. I have to make sure I get... Well, it's Emma D'Arcy's character. All the names sound so similar with the Targaryens.
Dude, it is. We turned on subtitles just so I could make sure I could see how every name was spelled so I could tell people apart.
Yeah, but Emma D'Arcy, who plays Rhaenyra, Princess Rhaenyra, who has just been named or claimed Queen of the Realm. Are you muted, Doge? Are you going to watch this show?
I'm not muted. I don't really care that much.
The very last scene of this entire season was brilliant.
Yeah, it was.
We see her youngest son get chomped by the biggest dragon in Westeros.
And on accident.
On accident.
But it's going to start a war. So
it's
that's
absolutely
very
going to start a war. And then we have no dialogue for the rest of the show, mm-hmm. just music playing. And she's standing in front of this massive fireplace. And we just see Emma D'Arcy come in and freaking own the thing mm-hmm. and change her body. We can't even see her face. The acting here is phenomenal. We see her tense and grieve a little bit, but then she turns around and you see the anger vein mm-hmm. that we call it sometimes. That's like big in the neck and in the head. And that's just it. That's just credits.
Yeah. The acting in this show is the acting and just the casting in general are the two strongest points of this show for sure. It's a, just my brief sort of overview is that it's a strong start. It's a strong first season of a show. It is not nearly enough action, which I understand it's a first season of a show, but that is one of Game of Thrones' strongest points is its action. And it did not give me nearly enough. The politics stuff is very interesting this season, which I like that it's interesting right off the bat. However, several of the big shock moments really felt like they were like, and let's try and make it as good as the real one. And it felt just a little overstated.
Bashing of head in at a party.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that King's Landing looks terrible. Like mm-hmm. every wide shot of King's Landing looks awful. Once you're down on street level, it looks fine.
Yeah.
But every wide shot of King's Landing is horrible.
I don't know if I've experienced an anthology like Game of Thrones that had such high highs and low lows for me.
No, dude.
And just to see how different people react, it almost feels like you could build a personality test out of
how what you did you think of Game of Thrones. But the dragons look great.
And when did it happen?
For sure.
The dragons look great. I think one of the biggest things to set the bar so high is the Red Wedding culturally was massive. Mm-hmm. If you didn't watch Game of Thrones, you kind of knew of the Red Wedding.
Yeah, for sure.
And I never think I've been as shocked in a TV series as I was for that. Again, with my ignorance of not reading the books. But yeah, this it needs to stop trying to be Game of Thrones, which is weird to say.
Well, here's the thing. I'm judging this show really harshly. I would give House of the Dragon season one a solid 7. It's worth a watch for sure.
Yeah.
It is not the like 8.9 that everybody seems to have collectively given it on different websites. Yeah. It is definitely not up to snuff because here's the deal. It's not the first season of a television show. It's the 9th. I know that it is a spinoff show and I understand that. But the point of a spinoff is you carry the weight given to you by the other show into your new show. That's why you spin off.
Yep.
This Young is Sheldon. The 9th season.
Exhibit A.
Exhibit A. Joey. This is the 9th season of
Gomer Pyle
Game of Thrones, not the first season of House of USMC. The Dragon. I mean, for God's sake, they didn't even make a new theme song, which is lazy, and I thumbs down.
That is ridiculous. I don't think you could. No, you get to keep it.
No, you don't. That's the Game of Thrones theme song. That is not the House of the Dragon theme song. That's lazy.
Is that different than like White Lotus?
No, because that's season 2 of White Lotus. This is season 1 of Game of Thrones: House of the Dragon.
Okay.
No, it's lazy. They are cashing in on.
I'd agree with that. It would be like if Better Call Saul had the same theme song as Breaking Bad.
I feel you. I feel right. House of the Dragon for me about an 8.
Oh,
Rings of Power about a 9. I'm more excited for Rings of Power season 2. I will continue to watch both of these shows.
Oh, 100%. I will too.
as we continue to. Look
I have two things. Can I say two things?
Okay.
It's not about this. It's just two things that I have wanted to text you guys about, but I was like, we have a movie podcast. I should probably talk to them about this while mics are hot and people are following me around while I just do my little child things.
Kitty.
Reportedly, Henry Cavill has not signed any kind of contract or made any kind of deal for Superman.
Oh.
It's reportedly not under contract. Not set in stone. I just thought that was worth bringing up because we talked about Henry so long a couple of weeks ago.
The Witcher.
Right?
Well, I think that stands. I think he's leaving The Witcher regardless. That just confirms it because he was upset with where it's going.
He's not signed any kind of like multi-picture deal for Superman. It's just like he's back, baby, but no real concrete plans to move forward with anything. It's just he's back because he was in Black Adam, not because we're about to announce Man of Steel 2 or Justice League.
Wow.
Redo or whatever.
DCEU is usually so like airtight.
I know. It's shocking. I wonder if that language is just like negotiations are still happening. Like it's not finalized yet, but like to hear the official news coming out of DC, coming out of James Gunn, it's that He's a free agent and we really like it when he's Superman. So we hope he keeps doing that. Woof.
Woof indeed.
We talked about Way of Water earlier.
We did.
Jimmy Cam's been saying some wild stuff about Way of Water. I want to talk about two things that he said. Number one, he said, get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of Way of Water if you want. I don't care. You'll go see it again.
That is such a baller move. Hey, I respect that for sure.
This is a man who saw Terminator and was like, yeah, I can do it too.
This is a man who saw The Ocean and was like, that's my career.
Yeah, he also saw Alien and was like, yeah, I could do that.
No, I what respect a flex. That. I respect that.
I definitely reflect. I respect it and reflect.
The
it.
Other thing Jimmy Cam's been saying is that in order for Avatar 2 to turn a profit, it has to be at least the fourth highest grossing movie of all time, if not the third highest grossing movie of all time, or they will lose money on it.
Oh, I don't think that real? James Cameron is...
That's insane.
I don't think that he's like a moron. I think he's a very talented director who I hope is pretty self-aware. So the fact that he is...
This is Icarus?
So, dude, I'm a little worried that his little wax wings are about to melt right off. I just that Avatar is a bad movie that looks really good.
Well, that's how he got started, right? He was a matte painter first before he was a director. So like his background is in the special effects. Yeah. He invented a new way of filming underwater for this movie to then go and use that for underwater motion capture to then animate this whole movie. Like it's like from a technical aspect,
this movie is going
it's
to
an
look
monumental achievement.
Like the best movie. It's going to visually look the best any movie has ever looked. I just think it's going to be a six.
I do too.
You know what though? Disney's taken a lot of sixes and made $5 billion.
For sure.
Yep.
For sure.
They're going to be fine regardless. I do love that James Cameron tends to make movies and then kind of change the way movies are made every time.
Oh, dude. James Cameron is a visionary. I adore James Cameron. I enjoyed my experience watching Avatar. I just think that it is the most, not anymore probably, but at the time, the most overhyped movie of all time.
It's hyped. It is certainly very much
hyped.
Did you
see the Cameron cut? They released the Cameron cut. It was actually
there is also a Cameron cut.
4:3 black and white. They filmed the final scene in the backyard.
I do own the Cameron cut on Blu-ray. It's pretty good.
In conversation of talking about directors, I wanted to take a moment and talk about some of our favorites and look ahead into upcoming projects. Please. It's funny. Our movie that we're reviewing tomorrow, Violent Night, showed up for us in a game we were playing. This has happened a few times to when we're like, can you believe? I like stumble upon something. And I love when sometimes Two Chunks is the first that anyone has heard of something that is on its way. I do want to say I saw Glass Onion in theaters because I wanted to go ahead and have that experience. I won't share my opinions because I do think we're going to review that at some point next year. But Rian Johnson is one of my favorite directors right now.
Cool.
And I was just kind of trying to look ahead to some projects that he would have. I do want to go ahead and say he does have, y'all have heard of Poker Face?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sleuthy mystery show, like 12 episode show.
Poker Face.
Yeah. But that's something that he has currently.
I'm not familiar.
That'll be releasing pretty soon. Okay. So it'll be, I think it's a 12 episode mystery vibe. And it's written and directed by him.
Check.
So I like with Rian Johnson, anything written and directed by Rian Johnson, I think I'm down. I think he's pretty brilliant. I think he's
really
clever.
I like him when he's got full control. I don't think he's a franchise boy.
No. Well, he's going to be.
But he's a character's boy.
Didn't he direct Upcoming Project 2 is too?
And The Fly.
I mean, the guy is ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah. According to IMDb, he is still pegged with Disney for his own trilogy.
No, Disney's canceled that. Disney has canceled literally every Star Wars live action film.
They canceled Bob. They canceled all sorts of things. Jordan, I didn't even have to ask you who
I'm
we
sitting
would
in
look
between
at.
Two Denis Villeneuve posters as we speak.
Yeah. It's definitely Denis. Upcoming projects for him.
Denis.
I think one of the things that I'm most excited about. Obviously, Dune Part 2 is coming. He also has another Jake Gyllenhaal movie. Did you know this?
Talk to me.
Jake Gyllenhaal plays Sonny Loftus in The Son. Oh. A convict escapes prison to find the truth about his father's alleged suicide and track down those involved in a major criminal conspiracy. So it's back.
Another
He's got his boy.
Jake Gyllenhaal thrilly.
Another
Sign
Jake
Gyllenhaal
thrilly.
Do you think Gyllenhaal's eyes are going to be like
from
really
Denis
big?
Villeneuve?
Yeah, probably. Or small, perhaps, or somewhere in the middle.
somewhere in the middle. He also has, and I think we might have mentioned this on our podcast, he's doing a Cleopatra movie that is currently in production.
Interesting.
Interesting.
And so plot kept under wraps, but it is in production.
I've got a pretty good idea.
She
fights with cars that turn into gorillas.
Yeah.
Doge had mentioned Damien Chazelle is one of his favorite directors. Obviously, yeah. Babylon is out right now.
I have heard.
Is it out right now?
No. Sorry. It's coming. It's done.
I've heard people say Babylon is the worst movie they've ever seen, and I've heard people say it's the best movie they've ever seen. So
it's probably going to be somewhere in the middle. Yeah. Somewhere in the middle. And then he's got like a.
I saw for Babylon before Violent Night. If that was the only trailer I had seen for Babylon, I would say that this is going to be a complete flop. That trailer was horrible. It was just non sequiturs after non sequiturs.
Kind of all been non sequiturs.
I felt Don't Worry, Darling to me. I don't know.
I'm a little worried about it. I think he had a really strong, I mean, obviously Whiplash and La La Land, and then First Man was a bit of a dip. And then
First Man was fine, but not great. It looked right. Really
I worry
good.
That Babylon. I worry that Babylon's not going to turn that corner and go back up the hill,
dude.
Ruh-roh.
Great cast.
Steven Spielberg,
yeah,
up and coming director, also another favorite of Dossier, has a couple upcoming projects. He really is a big biopic guy. He's got a George Gershwin project in development.
Cool.
He's got a Ulysses S. Grant project that's rumored. He's got an in development. These are all director credits for all of these because there's a, like, if you were to look
he's
at Steven Spielberg, it says
ton of stuff, yeah.
Like 31 upcoming projects. That's just because production and stuff. I'm saying directing. He's also got a movie called Black Hawk.
Interesting.
That's coming out, which is
called Black Hawk Up.
It's called just Black
and this
Hawk.
This time it just floats.
Finally, I wanted to look at what's next up for Ari Aster, who kind of has done a few movies, but they've all been pretty phenomenal. It was fun to have some time with him in the Chunktober world. He has one, and it's coming out next year, and it's called Disappointment Boulevard.
Oh, I've read about this, I think.
Have you read about this? A decade-spanning portrait of one of the most successful entrepreneurs of all time. It is headed by Joaquin Phoenix. What a wonderful Ari Aster vibe. It's probably not, but I really like what Ari is creating right now.
Do we think that Joaquin can play like a really kind of sad, down on his luck guy?
That'll be what's interesting.
I don't know if he could do that.
I heard that maybe it was on this podcast. I don't remember. I heard that the rumor is that the sequel to Joker is a musical.
Yeah, it is a musical.
It is definitely. Yeah.
It is a musical. Confirmed.
Gaga is
Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
Yep.
I'm intrigued.
Weird.
I'm it's intrigued weird. In the same way that I would be intrigued if somebody rang my doorbell and I opened it up and there was a DoorDash that I didn't order. It's like, I don't know that I want to touch this.
Can I?
That's kind of
gross.
Can I
eat this? Is it legal?
I'm intrigued, I guess. Yeah.
I will make it legal.
That's just, what? How easy must it be to get a movie greenlit?
When we live in a society, though, that's what I think you forget when you talk about Joker.
Also, one last little thing of looking ahead. I know this episode's running a bit long, but...
Sorry, I had two things to say about James Cameron. I'll give it to myself next time.
I'm not going to say
it. No.
I'm not going to say my things anymore.
It's totally fine. It's totally fine. You know what? I'll save it. Let's do a little bit of Yas or Pass. This is something I do want to start doing every time on this podcast, looking at what is coming out. This coming week, the week of December 5th. We talked last week about The Whale, I believe.
Yeah.
It's going to be a yes from me.
It is still a yes. Roald Dahl's Matilda, the musical, is coming out this week. I don't
know.
Pass. It's one of those little, it's got 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. It looks like it's been a fun time. And then next week, there's just one thing coming out, and I do believe this podcast will talk about it.
We will.
There's one major thing coming out on December 16th, which is Avatar: The Way of Water, which it is a. Does it, I mean, if it's technically a yes, like we're gonna.
It's
we're
a
gonna
yes see it. Legally. Yeah.
It's legally a yes. So to end today's episode,
glad we put it here.
What
in yes or pass? That's a default yes, and that's a default yes because I'm a pass on it personally.
Yeah, he is a pass on it.
I think it's going
to
be.
Hey, are you, is it are three you pissy and a half about us going to, I don't know. Are you pissy about us going to see Avatar 2? Because I don't think you've mentioned that yet.
No, not pissy at all. I think we should.
That's weird. I don't know why I did that vibe.
3 hours, 12 minutes.
Now I am
go to the bathroom. You'll
now
see it again.
Now I am pissed.
Go to the bathroom. No. Go to the bathroom. You'll see it again.
Now I'm pissed.
Woo.
And you know that if this is a 4 out of 10, we're going to sit down and those are going to be like, you guys just don't get it. Best movie.
No,
I've
I
ever
promise
seen.
I won't. The trailer that I saw last night doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good.
It visually is incredible, but it doesn't look good. But I think it's going to make a lot of money.
It'll for sure make a lot of money. That's not the discussion.
I don't know that it's going to hit the third highest grossing film of all time in order to turn a profit and be able to pay the actors their salaries.
I don't think so. I kind of think word of mouth is all that got Avatar 1 off the ground, and I kind of think word of mouth
Nobody'd seen motion capture like that and virtual production like that. Yeah. The only thing we've seen before that was Gollum.
Like the best 3D we ever had. Yeah.
Yeah.
To end today's episode, I'd love to have your name, and I want you to tell me, why do you think Vin Diesel took down his posts demanding that Vladimir Putin free Brittany Griner from prison?
Did he take both of them down? I saw
they're
he took
both
the
gone.
First, he
no,
took
they're
the
both
first
gone.
One down. Okay,
they're
that sucks. Because the first one was
Carter.
A selfie of him. Hang on, we got to explain what it is. The first one was a selfie of him because nobody can find it. It's gone forever now. The first one was a selfie of him and the caption was, Putin, I mean no bad on you. And the second was a picture of him giving a very aggressive thumbs up. And it said, free Brittany Griner by Christmas.
Yeah. The aggressive thumbs up. So I'm Carter. And I think it wasn't necessarily pressure from Putin that had him take down those posts. Somebody in the organization that is real called Men in Black said, Vin, if you want to keep your cover, you need to take this aggressive thumb raise off. Because you're very clearly, they can tell your suit is almost worn out. You as an alien dressed as a human. You can't do this. We've got to pull it. Your hand is doing things that aren't normal. People will say double jointed, but then they'll look closer and they'll see, no, that's a cavernous,
weird
hole.
It's starting to look like a triple joint.
under your thumb.
I'm Doge, and I think I'd like to believe that The Rock texted him that they broke their feud. And The Rock was like, hey, buddy, it's me, Black Adam. The hierarchy of power in our Fast and Furious relationship has changed. And you got to take that stuff down. That's a weird look, man. Paul would be disappointed. And Vin was like, oh, that's a good point. I'll take it down.
I'm Jordan. I'd like to be silly, but I just think somebody who's in charge of him was like, hey, bud, we're going to go ahead and take your phone away now. Okay. This is weird. you made a pretty weird social media post and everybody's equal parts concerned and doesn't care at all. So we're just going to go ahead and hey, bud, we're going to go ahead and delete these, okay? All right. You can go back. No, we'll give it back after, but we're going to go ahead and delete these, all right?
Hey, Guardians 3 media junket coming soon, buddy.
Let's go ahead
to talk
just
about
not associate
being a plant.
With Putin at all, okay? Let's not do positive association. Let's not do negative association. Hey, bud, let's go ahead and just
we're
delete those, okay?
We're on the three-word plan, right? I am Groot. Just keep
we
that
are
themed.
Groot.
We are Groot.
I play Groot.
Four-word. I play Groot.
I think somebody took his phone and then handed him a different phone that he has that he has been convinced can only shoot Creative Monday. Instagram.
Wednesday. It's Creative Sunday. It's Sunday.
Okay, I don't care. Can only shoot Creative Sunday.
Who the hell are
Sunday.
You two? Happy Creative what? Sunday.
It's Wednesday.
It's Creative Sunday.
Are you, keep are going you finished? Jordan. So I think that somebody handed him a phone that he has been convinced can only shoot those creative whatever day videos. And was like, let's go ahead and talk to people about how life-changing next Fast and Furious is going to be okay. And he was like, yeah, I'll probably do that.
How much Vin Diesel time have we spent? Because I want to talk a little bit about how he was doing the Be Real app via Instagram before Be Real existed. Because he doesn't even filter anything. He's the realest of them all.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.